Let's start. Are you good at washers?
Yes. It's such a great metaphor, isn't it?
Yeah. He can, you can, I will talk about it. So we'll do the three preparation meditations, then we'll do the main meditation, and then today we'll do a wrap-up meditation. So you should learn these five. Begin by observing your forehead, and are the muscles moving in your forehead? Are they tight? Check the corners of your mouth. Are they tight or sometimes pulled down? Check your eyelids. Are they relaxed, or is there a little tension holding them up? Pull in your tummy just a bit, navel towards the spine. Puff out your chest slightly by drawing your hands towards your hips. Bring your shoulder blades slightly together. We'll start the first of three preparation meditations, just warm-ups. The first one is to akshobhya, to try to be totally still and unmoving. So your hands will be unmoving, your torso will be frozen, your eyelids will be still, your forehead will be relaxed and it won't change. And your focus, mental focus, is just on observing your body and observing its stillness, that it's not moving at all. So focus on stillness. You're going to think about other things, but when your mind comes back, focus on being completely still, like a stone. If someone looked at you, they would wonder if you were alive or not. We'll stay there for about 5 minutes. Now please move to your breath. Move to your breath, the second of the preparation meditations. Start focusing on your breath. And imagine that the breath is coming not out of the nostrils, but the breath is coming out of the forehead at a place called Minsam, which is between your eyebrows and up about half an inch. In Sanskrit, Bruhur Madhye, and then inside the head about half an inch. So there's a hole in your lower part of your forehead. And imagine that you're breathing through that hole. Rather than the breath slanting down as it leaves your nostrils, it's leaving your forehead straight out in front of you. Imagine breathing there. Please don't tighten up your face as you concentrate. Try to concentrate without tightening your face. Now as you inhale, imagine the breath brushing down the front of your spine. So you feel the breath as it slides down against the front of your spine to a point between your legs, which is the Muladhara chakra. And feel it touch the point between your legs about half an inch into your body. So on the inhale, the breath touches, slides down the front of the spine and touches that point at the end of the inhale. But don't pause on the inhale. Then exhale out again from your forehead. Now concentrate on the exhale, long, long exhales. Exhale longer than inhale. And each time you exhale, see if you can send the breath out a little farther from your forehead, straight out from your forehead. But it goes a little farther than the last breath. In the scriptures it says maybe you can get 6 inches out of your head. 8 inches or even a foot. So see if you can extend the exhale without effort, just gently. And imagine the breath coming out of your forehead and then being sucked back in. Now try to imagine the breath as one solid piece, like a bar or a plunger on a hypodermic or something. The breath is a solid piece that's moving up out of your body, sliding out of the hole in your forehead, and then sliding back down. The upper tip of that bar, which is made of blue light, slides out of the forehead and extends out in front of your head, and then the lower on the exhale, and then the lower part on the inhale touches the chakra between your legs. So it's one solid piece of air that looks like blue light, and it slides in and out of the hole in the forehead in an L shape. When it slides down, you feel it brushing against the front of your spine. Now be aware of a pause at the end of the exhale when the bar comes out of the head and extends out into the space in front of the forehead. Then there's a pause at the exhale. There's no pause at the end of the inhale, but there's a pause at the end of the exhale. Don't force anything, just let it be natural. We'll stay there for about 5 minutes. Let your mind rest on the breath sliding. Now we'll switch to the third preparation meditation. It should be short. Take a little peace out of the back of your mind. Step back. Even let it feel like a physical stepping back from the back of your skull. Take a little piece of your mind and watch your main mind. So the little watcher mind steps back and watches the main mind. And watch your thoughts come and go as if you were checking the weather. How's the weather inside your mind this morning? What are the concerns of the day? What do you remember from yesterday? You had interactions with people. Things they said or did are still fresh in your mind. Those thoughts will come and go. It's a transition day for many of us. We're going home tonight, tomorrow. Are there thoughts coming up about that, about what we have to do next week? And don't try to control them. Just watch them. See, check the weather in the mind today. Try to be objective and catch all the little thoughts running, passing through the mind and leaving the mind. And slowly come back to your breath. Watch your breath. And slowly come out, meditation. Stretch, take a stretch. Okay. Yeah. Any questions?
No.
All right then. So now we'll go on to content. All right. Those three are just warm-up meditations. They have no particular content. Just your breath, or stillness of your body, or random thoughts from yesterday. I don't know. For me, it's like thoughts from my science fiction novel last night, and then what's for breakfast. I don't know, what's for breakfast seems to last all day, and stuff like that. So now we'll move on to some content. Okay, we'll do two meditations. One is something you can do after those three. So if you have 20 minutes to meditate in the morning, do the first three for maybe 10 minutes. Try to go still, and then breath, and then watch your thoughts. There's a principle in Buddhism that observing something is to change it. So if you see that your mind is going all over the place, that's probably going to help stop it from going all over the place. If you notice that you're doing something, then you're noticing helps to stop it. So then we'll do, in the morning, then maybe you would spend 10 minutes on your teacher, sitting with your teacher, which is what we've been talking about for the last nine days, in ancient texts that we've been reading. So focusing on your teacher. I think it's good to remember why you go to somebody to learn something is that you think, I think there's a couple of things implied when you go to a teacher. One is that you think they have something worthwhile to learn. And I think most importantly, they embody that thing, so they know something, but they also do it. Right? They're a good example of whatever they're teaching. I think if sometimes we admire a teacher and we admire what they know, but there's an awareness that they're not quite doing it, or they're not quite embodying what they're teaching. So I think ideally we would try to find a teacher who knows. It's like sometimes you meet a yoga teacher who can explain the yoga, but who doesn't seem to be doing the yoga, you know. So ideally, you try to find one who's doing both. They know about the thing, and then they're a living example of the thing. And I think having a teacher implies those two. Ideally, they should be what they're teaching, and then I want to learn from their example, from their words, and from their living example. I would like to be like that. So in this next meditation, we bring the teacher here, and we are in their presence. We sit in their presence, And then we try to reflect upon things about them that we would like to learn. Okay. So we'll do that. And then we'll end, we'll go straight into a coffee meditation, which means, which is normally done at night as you lay down to go to bed. You know, after you hit your bed, you can be sitting up, it could be half laying down, it could be all the way laying down, but you bring to mind the good things you've done. It could, normally it's that day, during the day, but you can do the last week if you want. Some people tell me they don't have anything good to think about, then you can go back to your childhood, or there's no, what do you call it, expiration date on the good seeds in your heart. They're there from your childhood. So you can, in that meditation is to think about good things you have done today, or this week, or this life, and just fall off to sleep with those thoughts of happiness and goodness. That conception, it's called Dushe in Tibetan, Sansnya in Sanskrit. It's to, what do you call it? You look at the good deed and you package it in your mind. You know, you say, oh, I started it at 2, you know, I started it at 7:30 on her drift system, and I changed this, and then I changed this, and then I changed this, and get all the details in there, and then I walked away with it dripping slightly less and determining to ask Nick to fix it. You package the whole karma. And if you don't do that, the karma won't ripen as quickly. It will be a vague ripening. So it's important after you do something nice to, I don't know, the Tibetan word is like conceptualize it or review it, package it into a nice wrapped up ball. Oh, this is when I started, this is what I did, this is how I ended it. And I'm happy about that. So it's important to get the details, remember the details of what you did, and then leave it with a nice feeling. You know, say, at 9:25 I finished. And, and I left. And that little deed exists in history. In Abhidharma, they say, Nambar Rikche Mayimbe Suk. It means a cosmic photograph was taken and went out. You know, light from my body as I was fixing the faucet, trying to fix them up, actually went out into the universe. It struck the edge of the atmosphere. It vibrated against the ether of space. And that action is now light traveling through the universe and reverberating. It's hitting stars, it's hitting planets, and it will never stop. They call it a cosmic photograph was taken. I did it. The sunlight bounced off of my hands as they were moving. That reflected light with a certain intention behind it. And that light will continue to travel forever to the universe. And just think about that. If you package it that way, then the karma is, it just keeps going, okay? And you will have people fix your faucets poorly forever. All right. Okay. All right. So let's start. We'll finish those two. So please come back to your breath. Relax your face again. Normally it just have gone straight through, right? Then please bring your teacher to sit in front of you, knee to knee, your own personal teacher, heart teacher, the one who has helped you open the heart, your heart the most in this life. I like to add a little sunlight, golden sunlight around them, which makes it easier to stay sharp in a meditation. Can feel the warmth from their body, fragrance from their skin, aware of the rustle of their clothing on their chest as they breathe. So it's not just a visualization, it's a real person. Now be aware of the pores of their skin. Focus on the pores of their skin, the tiny little holes in their skin through which air passes, sweat passes, tiny little sand like sprinkled through across the surface of their skin, tiny pores. Bring your mind down into one of those pores. Pick a place. I don't know, for me it's their left forearm. And I'm going to go travel like a spaceship into one of the pores on the skin of their forearm. And it's dark there, like space, like outer space. And there's a planet, an entire planet, revolving in darkness of space within the pore, and a whole planet with clouds and oceans, continents. And I'm watching the planet slowly spin. and I come down, my mind comes down through the atmosphere, through the clouds, through the sky, to the earth, the land of the planet, into the cities, above the cities, watching the people there. And I see that people are already enlightened, all of them, on the whole planet. No poverty, no hunger, no war, no anger, no death, just complete happiness, contentment, harmony, serving each other. Imagine a whole planet, watch the people come and go on the streets, coming out of doors, entering doors, and all perfectly happy. It's a planet which has evolved. The whole population has evolved to a perfect state of peace. And slowly leave the planet, come back into the sky with your mind. Come outside of the clouds, back to darkness of space, back out of the pore of the skin, patch of skin on your teacher's forearm. And come back to your own body. Then we'll spend about 3 minutes, just think of good things you've done this week. Package them. How did I start the good deed? How did I do the good deed? How did I leave the good deed? And then just be happy about the good deed. We'll spend about 3 minutes like that. Choose one or two special things you did. Could be speaking to someone, could be helping with something, could be just struggling in your own mind. Struggles count as better karma than successes in this system. To try to change, even if you fail, is more powerful karma than just sliding in success. ask your Lama to come into your heart, stay there all day. You can slowly come out in meditation. Take a stretch. So that would be a normal meditation. The first three preparation in the morning, get it down to like 5 minutes. Then 5 or 10 minutes on your teacher. And then at the end of the day, prone, supta meditation, right? Supta bhavana, that's a new expression. Just lay down and really, you know, we travel the world, we see thousands of people, we teach thousands and thousands of people. I think about 10,000 people in the last 6 months. And then after they learn about karma, the biggest struggle is to get them to celebrate what they've done right, you know. And you always, there's two kinds of people. You come back after a year to Bulgaria, there's two kinds of people. One of them are very successful, their finances are looking up, they have a nice partner, and their health is improving, their yoga is good. And then there's another kind of person that they just, it's just not working, you know. And they come up to you and they say, "It's, you know, I'm trying to do everything, but it's not working." Then you have a little bit of self-doubt, you know. You're like, "Oh man, maybe I'm teaching them wrong or something." And then you say, "Are you doing the meditation before you sleep, which is the most important of everything?" And then they say, "No, I can't do it. I have trouble doing that. I'm doing everything else. I'm taking the old lady, taking care of the old lady's faucets and stuff, and it's just not working, you know." And then you say, "Are you, before you sleep, are you packaging the karma? And you know, are you thinking about the good things you did today?" And they say, "I have trouble with that. You know, I just keep thinking about my problems and the things that I didn't do well and the bad things I did." And I, so you have to struggle. That's a struggle. If you can break through that, at the end of the day, as you fall off to sleep, if you can break through worrying about your problems and thinking about the things you've done poorly, then you're okay. Then everything will work, okay? There was a lady in Iskra in Sofia, Bulgaria. She's a television star. She's the Oprah Winfrey of Bulgaria. So she came to our first retreat there, and she's famous in Bulgaria because she never had a boyfriend. Like, every time she gets a boyfriend, it doesn't work out. And, you know, everybody gossips about it all the time. And then, so we talked, we had a long talk and about helping a lonely person. And then she did it. She actually did it. She's a very determined person. She was a Fulbright scholar in the U.S. She's very intelligent and she's determined. So she said, "Okay, it all makes sense, I'll try," you know, and she did it. And then she's just walking down that main street. What's it called, the street where?
Vitosha.
And this big, beautiful guy is walking down the street. And he just stops and says, "Hi," you know, and that was it. And she got married in July, and he's a famous clarinet player or something in the orchestra or something. And he has a house in Germany, and which is the Bulgarian dream, and you know, and he's just, and we met him, and he's beautiful. He's really beautiful, very sensitive, kind, you know, well off, and they're very happy. They're really happy together. So she, I guess, she was intelligent enough to do the bedtime thing, and some people just can't do it. So I think that's the difference. Okay? So try. All right.